believe it's something that you will greatly profit from. Today I'll be teaching you something that will cause your home either to live in peace and joy, or it will be something, if you don't do this, your house will still constantly be in constant confusion and disarray. It's that kind of a message. It's a life-giving message. It's a message of blessing. If you'll take what the Lord and the Bible and what you're going to be receiving and hearing today and apply it to your home and to your family and to your life, you're going to see a change. And I believe in all of it that we'll find something that we can do. Something that we can do. I think it's a very timely message. I think it's something that we really need to hear this morning. Let's pray. Father, we need your anointing because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Father, we want your anointing upon our whole body. Father, not just me, but Father, also those that hear. And Lord God, that the heart can be prepared to receive the good seed. And Father, it'll produce fruit, 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And if that's your desire, why don't you just put your hand on your heart and say, Father, just plant good seed into my heart. Just say that. Father, plant good seed into my heart. And now if you'd like for me to be anointed, you'd like for me to make sure that the word that I share unto you is going to be the word of the Lord, is going to stretch your hand out and pray for me. That I'll be blessed of God, I'll be anointed of God, and that the words will come easily and I'll be saying exactly what God wants me to say. No more and no less. And Father, right now I receive the prayers of the saints. Father, I receive the prayers of the saints, Lord God, and I just ask you now to make this a very good time, Father, a very fruitful time in the house of God. And we all say, amen, meaning so be it. So be that. Now, look in your Bible with me to the book of 1 Peter. Turn to chapter 3. It's Praying Tuesday. And I was wanting to find out the will of the Lord. I wanted to know what He would like to minister this week, and began to prepare my mind and prepare my heart so that I could bring the word of the Lord. And I really felt like that we would be moving back into the things of blessings that we've been talking about over the weeks, how to receive blessings of God, how to open up the windows of heaven and have blessings in our life and financial areas. But I wasn't quite led in that direction. I was led in another direction. And the Lord led me back to something that we've been doing over the past couple of weeks, probably a month ago. We began a group of messages entitled something like this, Why Prayers Sometimes Go Unanswered. And so I was brought back into that mentality, and I think a couple of reasons is, one is because the Lord's just not going to let this church get away from prayer. He's just not going to do it. There's going to be something said about prayer regularly. I think that it's the issue of the decade. I believe that before the church can become what the church is designed and built to be, that it will be a praying church. It will be a people that pray and seek God and have their lives in such order that it won't be wasteful time, it'll be very, very fruitful time. And I believe that's one reason that the Lord has me from time to time just go back and bring something out about prayer. And so I began to look and some things that He had shown me several months back, some reasons that prayers are not answered, and I went back and He began to enlighten one to me. And I really want to share this with you this morning, and I believe it'll change your life. It's one of those kinds of messages. It's a life-changing message. You can receive it and be blessed or reject it, and you won't be blessed. It's that simple. Now, the five messages that we've preached so far on why prayers sometimes go unanswered, the first one was we titled it Rebellion Against God's Purposes. Remember that one? That was the bee message. Remember the bee message? Where God loosed the bees on the people because they would not move on in God. And the final analysis of that message is, don't listen to a bad report. Because if you listen to a bad report, you won't fulfill your purposes in God. And God will, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you can read it for yourself. He says, there'll be a day you'll go to war, and I won't be there. And the bees will come on every side. He says, what you got to do is go on in your purposes and fulfill your purpose and your destiny in God. How many of you believe that God created you for a purpose, that right now in this time you're supposed to be here? It's His divine will, it's His divine purpose, and there's something for you to do while you're here. How many believe that? Really believe that now? All right, when you stop moving into that, you can start looking for the bees in your life and you'll be stung on every side. And God says there in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 45, He says, you cried out to me, and He says, and I would not give you my ear. Then we talked about the second one, is when the second reason that we talked about why sometimes prayers go unanswered is because we come to the church and it's vain. We're just doing it just to be doing it. Our worship is vain. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, he says, I'm sick of it. He says, you come to me, you offer up all these sacrifices, you do all this stuff, you clap your hands, you stomp your feet, you lift your hands in multiplied prayers. And he says, I'm sick of it. And he says, I've plugged up my ears and I've turned my eyes from you. Vain worship will bring us to a place where we're not truly seeking God with our heart, but only with our mind. And until we learn that true worship is out of the heart. True worship must... Jesus said, truly did Isaiah said, this people is far from me, for they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Vain worship. Vain worship. We must learn. We come here when Pastor Tebow and the praise team takes us to worship. You must learn in this time, plus in your private time, to have a place like Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide in the shadows of the Almighty. You see, you got to learn to come to that place where it's a secret place. What does that mean? It means that I can't go there for you, and you can't go there for me. It's a secret place that only you can go, that only I can go for me, and that only you can go for you. We've got to learn that coming to God is a very unique, secret thing that we've got to keep between He and I. That was the third reason that we talked about prayer sometimes. That was the second reason. The third thing was that praying with for things, seeking God's hand and not His face. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then shall I hear from heaven. We got to learn not to just seek God's hand. James says, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. And when you ask amiss, because you're asking according to your own lust, your own motives. You want things. And God says, I'm not going to give you things. If I just give you things all the time, it'll drive you far from me. You can read James chapter 4 and find out if that's not the truth. You've got to learn to seek God not for things, but for His face, not for His hand, but for His presence. That's the total. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth. The fourth thing that we saw already, spiritual pride or an arrogant spirit will cause your prayers not to be answered. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're very, very aware of verse 8 and where it says there that your adversary, the devil, walketh about how? As a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. But we don't get the whole context. Back up a couple of verses and you'll say there that it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Verse right before that says that he resists the proud, but gives grace and mercy to the humble. We've got to learn to humble ourselves. What does that mean? That means doing whatever is necessary to get His Word working in my life. Changing. How do you know that somebody's not humble? How do you know if you're not humble? How do you know if I'm not humble? Because I won't change. You won't change. If you're a proudful person, I don't care. I can walk up to you and I can show you in the Word of God where something says, and if you got pride, you say, well, I see it, but I don't receive it. Am I right? The first thing is that you will change when you're shown that you're wrong. Second thing is being able to say, I'm sorry. People have the hardest time saying, I'm sorry, even when they know they're wrong. Talk to me now. People have a hard time saying, I'm sorry. The third thing is saying, forgive me. If you're prideful, you'll never ask anybody to forgive you, because you're never wrong. God says, I resist that spirit. In fact, there's a devourer waiting on you. Hello. Fifth reason that we've talked about so far why God says I won't answer prayer sometimes is when we do not ask according to His will. 1 John chapter 5, remember that one? He says, and we have this confidence that when we pray anything according to His will, that He hears us, He hears the petitions for which we ask, but not only does He hear it, it says, but He will answer it. Right? But it has to be according to His will. Not just anything, according to His will. How do you know if it's God's will? Number one, the Word of God. Find the Word of God. You've got to get in the Word. You'll never know God's will without God's Word. It's the first thing you've got to understand. But I can go in there and I can read about old David. I can read about King David, can I? King David's life, and he was called to be king of all of Israel. How many of you are called to be king of all of Israel? So you can't run in there and grab what David had and put it to your life. There's principles and sure there's things there. But your purpose is not David's purpose, and David's purpose is not your purpose. How about Noah? What was Noah's purpose? I don't see anybody building big old arcs in the backyards. Why? Because that's not your purpose. The Word of God has given us direction, but you'll never know what God has for you to do unless there's number two, communion. You got to spend time with God, folks. You'll never know what you're to do until you spend time with the Holy Spirit, until you spend time with Jesus Christ, until you spend time with the Father. Third thing is you'll never know the will of God truly until you tap into the eternal purposes. We said it earlier. I'll say it again. We'll never really understand what all I do, how it affects the next generation. Our generation is setting the stage for the next generation. It'll either make it better or worse for them. Your life will either make it better or worse for your children. Better or worse for your grandchildren. Better or worse for your great-grandchildren. What you do now in its eternal aspects and its eternal purposes will finally give you the answer of what God's will is and what you should pray for. Amen? Cadillac in the living room, folks. Won't do a whole lot for my great-grandkids. Talk to me now. But my seeking God and seeking His face, going on in my purposes and doing what God's called me to do, that'll make a difference. Number six, are we ready? Number six, the sixth reason that I want to bring as to why sometimes prayers go unanswered is when proper honor and respect is not given between marital partners. I'll say it again. When proper honor and respect is not given between marital partners. Verse 7, chapter of 1 Peter chapter 3. See if I'm telling you the truth. You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. How many see, according to the Bible that's laying in your lap, that your prayers can be hindered if you're not giving proper respect to your marital partner? Now, this is a life message, folks. This is something that I am as sure as I know my own name that the Lord wanted ministered this morning. You have got to grasp these truths. You got to see these things, and you got to apply them. It can't just be head knowledge. This has got to get into your heart today. That's why I had you pray that prayer. I want this seed to fall into your heart and to begin to produce some things in your life. Now, before I start, I want to give my wife the right to interject in this message. She has been through this with me. Much I'll be sharing with you today has been through our 23 years of marriage. It's 23, right? And though we have a tremendous marriage, a wonderful marriage, we love each other very deeply, I want you to know it's still not all roses at times. There are still times she throws things at me. And of course, not because I deserve it. There are still times that we lift our voices to one another, but we have been through so much that we'll be able to impart and share with people. So much. We have a great marriage now, but it hasn't always been great. Okay? And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share these things today. Now, I want to read probably a little bit more, but I just kind of think maybe just to go ahead and divide this thing up and let it come out like it needs to come. In chapter 3, verse 1, the first thing that Peter says here is, in the same way, you wives. Do you see that? In the same way, you wives. And then in verse 7, he says, you husbands likewise. In the same way, you wives, and you husbands likewise. And what I want to do is divide this pie right down the middle, and I want to put over here, wife, I want to put over here, husband. Then I want to put my points. The first point, verse 1, where he says, therefore, or in the same way, you wives. Same way, wives. And also from verse 7, likewise, you husband. How many see there that there's something for the wife to do and there's something for the husband to do? Do you see that? You got to understand, women, that it's not all his fault. And husband, you got to understand, it's not all her fault. That there are things that the Bible clearly says that she is to do and that he is to do. Am I right now? You with me so far? Now, these are the kinds of things that have ran people away from this church. I want you to stay with me. And if I'm bringing you the Word of God, then bring the Word of God into your life. Right? In the same way, wives, likewise you husbands. Now, I want to do the why first. And why? But it's just because it's first. Okay? It's just there first. I'm not picking on the wives first. I'm just bringing this out. What does he mean when he says, likewise you wives? Now, how many realize and remember that the Holy Spirit didn't say, stop now, chapter 3. He didn't say verse 1. He was in a flow, and he was the Holy Spirit and Peter here was in a flow, and all of these chapter 2 and chapter 3 are really running together. That's why you get this in the same way, wives. You got to back up to see what he's really talking about here, and you'll find it beginning in verse 18. That's where the paragraph begins. Now look at verse 18, and you'll see there what he's trying to bring to us. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect to those who are good. Not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. He says, servants and masters, he says, what I want you to do, servants, I want you to be submissive to your masters, your boss at work. Not only to the good ones, but also to what? The bad ones. Those that are unreasonable. That's a better word, isn't it? So your husband's not bad, he's just unreasonable. In like ways. Now you can read that and you can see that's what he's... That whole section there from verse 18 down to verse 25, that's what he's talking about. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that even though they hung him on a cross, he did not revile those people, even though they were very unreasonable. How many know when somebody's hanging on the cross, they're pretty unreasonable? But he didn't revile them. He didn't talk back to them. He was submitted to that thing because that was God's plan for his life. And so he comes on down there, and now Peter says, in the same way, wives. In the same way, wife, I don't care if your husband is good or if your husband is unreasonable or if he's somewhere in the middle, what are you supposed to do to him? Is that hard to say? Number two, second point, is wives, you must learn submissiveness. Now, what I want to do here is help you with that word today because it is a bad word. It is a bad word. But Peter does such a beautiful thing here because he helps us understand what he's talking about. Now, let's first of all see, I'm going to read verses, chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husband so that even if any of them are disobedient or unreasonable to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. How many sees there that he is talking about, no matter if your husband is good or if your husband is unreasonable? How many wives see that that's really his context now and that's what he's doing? Okay, you with me? Everybody's here now. Okay. Now, good or unreasonable, he says, you've got to learn to submit. Now, what he gives here is a beautiful picture, a painting, if you'll let me paint it for you. He says, not only with the braiding of your hair. How many of you ladies, let's be very lenient, how many of you ladies probably spent about 15 minutes this morning on your hair? Come on, at least 15 minutes. Most of you spent at least 15 minutes. How many spent more than 15 minutes? Okay. Good. That's good. Because you see, that's the principle. He's saying here, as you spend time with your hair, to make your hair look pretty, to make yourself look good, to do these things that make you look good externally, then do that same thing for the inner person. Do that same thing for the heart. Do that same thing for that inner person. Do something in there that makes that person inside of you look good. Because it's that person, not that outer person, it's that inside person that's going to win your husband to the point that he needs to be. You're initially attracted to a person outwardly. But it doesn't take very long to get inwardly and see what's in there, really. How many of you ladies really spend some time when you pick out a piece of jewelry? You spend a little time picking out that piece of jewelry. You look at it, you pick it up, you hold it, you say, how will this look? And you try it on, and if it looks good, you may purchase it, and if it doesn't, you won't. And, But you spend a little time anyway with your jewelry. How many of you ladies do that? See? Okay, come on. Come on now. Some of you don't wear much jewelry, but I'm painting you a picture. You see the point here. It makes you look good. It makes you look more attractive. It makes you feel pretty. Well, he's saying, well, that same way that you adorn yourself with gold, he said, the same way, spend that time with the Spirit and let that inner person be beautified by the adornment that it wears. Then he says, by the wearing of dresses. Now, some of you make your own clothes. But how does it take time to make clothes? Some of you purchase clothes, and some of you spend a lot of money on clothes. And I'm not knocking that. But what I'm trying to show you is that what Peter is trying to say here and paint us a picture here of all that time that you spend outwardly, all that time that you spend on your hair, all that time you spend on looking good on the outside, he's saying here, hey, take that same... That's God. Take that same amount of time. Take that same amount of time and spend it on that inner person. Can you hear that? That's what submission is, folks. It's not being treated like a child. If your husband treats you like a child, then he's wrong. And I'll get to that in a second. But what we're talking about here is spending time with that inner person so that what comes out is a gentle and a quiet. Everybody say gentle and quiet. Gentle and quiet. Everybody didn't say it. Everybody say gentle and quiet. Gentle and quiet. Now that's what's supposed to come out of you, ladies. Gentle and a quiet spirit. Now, my wife hasn't always been gentle and quiet. There has been times, and it hasn't been that long ago, that she's thrown things at me. Now, I deserved it, okay? But that was not, see, there was this in there, and she spent some time adorning her hair, I know she does, and looking at the things and the earrings and dresses, and it takes her a long time to buy a dress. Very seldom does she go and buy a dress. Like, she has to look at that thing, and she tries it on, and I'm trying to give, I'm not picking on, you know I'm not picking on you, I'm just trying to give the illustration. What Peter's saying here is that's what a meek and a quiet spirit is, a spirit that is adorned in the same manner that you've taken time with and you've made it pretty, and so that when it is seen, that it's gentle and it's quiet. Now, I'm going to deal with the man, okay? We're going to get him right now. Okay. And he says, likewise, you husbands. Likewise, you husbands. Look at verse 7 now. Let's get I want to do this back and forwards to see the comparison of what he says. He says, live, King James Bible says, dwell with your wife. Whose wife? How many men know that sometimes it might be better if I live with somebody else's wife? It's not what he says, though. What does he say? Live or dwell with your wife. Now, let me go back here while I was on that. Who are you supposed to submit to? Your own husband. And it's a lot easier sometimes for some women to submit to me and not their own husbands. Really, I'm telling you, and you know I'm telling you the truth. But wife, let me tell you something. Wife of another man, let me tell you something. If you submit to me, you're bringing a curse upon your family because your prayers aren't being answered. If you're not submitting to your husband, then your prayers are going to be answered. Did I say that right? If you're not submitting to your own husband, then your prayers are going to be hindered. And if I start coming into your home and trying to tell your husband how to run his home, I get whipped. I get disciplined. I get cursed. How many hear me now? Now listen, I love talking to you. I love trying to help you. I love encouraging you. But listen, I can't run your home. I want to help. But that's not in his plan. See, the Bible doesn't say that the head of the man is Christ and the head of the woman is the pastor. That's not what it says, is it? The head of the woman is what? The man. And the head of Christ is God. That's how blessings will come into your home. Now, I'm balancing here. And not only do you submit to your own wives, not only do you submit to your own husbands, but also, husbands, you live with your own wife. How? in a respectful way or an understanding way. King James Bible says with knowledge. Whose responsibility is it to understand the marriage? Whose responsibility is it to respect the marriage? Whose responsibility is it to have the knowledge about the marriage? Am I right now? That's what the Bible says. But you know what? I find it so opposite so often. You still love me? Everybody still loves me? So oftentimes, it's the woman that's got more understanding about the marriage. It's the woman that's got more understanding about the finances. It's the woman that's got more understanding about so many things in there. But it's the husband's responsibility to live with your own wife. And I'm going to put two things. Live with your own wife in an understanding way. When I think of live with, there's a lot of thoughts that come into my mind. The first thing that I see is when you're living with somebody, you must communicate with somebody. Now, my wife's biggest problem with me is that I won't talk to her sometimes when she's having a problem. Am I right? She'll have something that'll be bothering her. She'll have something, and I may have been up here working, or I may have been counseling with somebody, and I may have a lot of things on my mind, and I'll come home, and she wants to talk about this stuff. And I'm tired of talking about this stuff, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. And she wants to talk, and it's bothering her. It's got her upset. The enemy's winning victories in her life because she can't have peace. And she... Is it the monitor? Is that what it is? Whatever that it is, she needs my attention. She needs me to do something for her. And a lot of times, I just won't talk to her. And it's about that time she starts throwing things. And that's not... I've said that 3 or 4 times. She only does that very, very seldom. But what I'm trying to communicate to you is that it's not her fault. It's my fault. It's not her fault that she gets upset. It's my fault that she gets upset because I won't take 15, 20, 30 minutes and talk to her about a problem that she's having. Am I right now? If I was just to take just a few minutes and talk to her about the problems that she's having, then she's going to be free from that. It's not going to be an issue anymore. I've got to learn to live with her in an understanding way. Whatever is causing unrest in my home, whatever is taking the joy away out of my home, then it's my responsibility to live with her in an understanding way. I need to understand what the problem is. I need to get the problem straightened out. If it's finances, then I need to get the finances straightened out. If there's something wrong with the kids, I got to address the kids. I got to get the kids straightened out. Whatever that there is that's wrong in the home, it's my place, not her place, to get it fixed because I'm to live with her in an understanding way. She's supposed to submit to me with a gentle and a quiet spirit. Am I right? But I'm the one that is responsible to making sure that the home stays in order and that I'm relating to her with all knowledge or understanding or whatever, however that you want to phrase it. But I'm the one that's responsible to make sure that she's living in peace. Now, let's just stop right here. And how many of you husbands will... Now, and then I'm going to ask you wives the same thing, so don't be giggling now. How many of you husbands will be honest enough to say, I'm guilty there, I don't spend time sometimes when my wife's got something on her mind that she really needs to talk about? How many of you husbands would be honest enough to say, hey, that's me? See, that's our biggest fault, folks. I'm telling you, men, that's our biggest problem. If we would just take time and talk to her about the thing that's bothering her, we'll have a whole lot better everything. She'll have a lot less headaches. She'll be a lot easier to get along with. We've got to understand that when we're talking about dwelling with them, there's peace, there's happiness. If there's not happiness in your home, sir, then you need to find out why it's not there and get it there. There is joy. When joy goes out of the home, that means the presence of God is not there. In His presence is fullness of joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen, if there's not joy in your home, then the kingdom of God isn't there. Can you hear me now? There's peace, there's happiness, there's joy, there's a relationship. So it's basically your responsibility to make sure the relationship is like it should be. Communications. In other words, what I'm trying to say to us, it's our responsibility to take our place. Men talk to me all the time and they say, my wife will not submit to me. But let's back up one notch and let's find out. Well, are you living with her in an understanding way? Most of the time not. You just raised your hand and said you didn't. Am I right? Come on now. See, that's why the main reason that she can't live in peace And that she's going to badger you when you come home is because you won't spend time and give her peace about the thing that's bothering her. If we'll just take a few minutes and sit down and talk to them and say, yeah, everything's going to be okay, and love them and hold them and say, yeah, it's fine, it's going to be all right, then she'll have peace. Do you know I'm right? Whether you agree with me or not, you know I'm right. Okay. Taking her place. In an understanding way, it says that the husband is to have understanding. It's our responsibility. Now, let's go on to the third point. Go back into the woman. What is the third thing, the third point that I want to bring here? First of all, understanding she's got something to do. Secondly of all, understanding that she must have a submissive spirit. And thirdly of all, I want to read a little bit further, beginning at verse 5. Read verses 5 and 6. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. This is the way they adorned themselves, with a gentle and a quiet spirit. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham. That's a bad word too. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if, say if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Wives, the next thing you've got to do, and I really, this is a tough one, is you have got to trust without fear your own husband. And the bill collectors are calling, and the job's playing out, and the kids are in rebellion, and the car's messed up, and things are going crazy. But let me relate to you about Sarah. I have done a lot of things, a lot of wrong things, a lot of wrong things. But I have never given my wife to Pharaoh. Now, there's been times I might have wanted. Just kidding. How many know what I'm saying? Here they come. Here. The Lord's speaking to us. Here they come out of Ur of the Chaldees. They go into the land of Canaan. There's a famine in the land. First of all, Sarah has to come out and go with him, leave everything, everybody, go with him into the land, and there's a famine in the land. So they go down to Egypt, and the first thing that Abraham says is, I'm going to tell him that you're my sister and not my wife, because Pharaoh's going to want you. And did he? Yeah, he did. Did he get her? Yeah. Now, what would you have done if your husband had done that to you? Talk to me. That's right. Caleb's... You'd have screamed, you'd have yelled, you surely wouldn't have had a gentle and a quiet spirit, would you? But that's what Sarah had, because she trusted Abraham. She trusted Abraham. And women, that's what you've got to come to. And man, I know it's tough. I hear what some of you go through. I wouldn't trust him either sometimes. But you got to. You got to learn to trust your own husband without fear. Knowing that God is in charge and that God is going to make everything work out okay. Knowing that God has called you and God has ordained you and that God has put you together and that God's going to deal with his heart and God's going to deal with his life, and then you'll be able to trust him without fear of anything. Trust him without fear. How many of you wives now will be honest enough to say, I really don't trust my husband? Now let me tell you that... It's easy for Jane to do it because her husband's not here. But I want to know the truth now. I mean, how many of you were honest enough to say that, listen, that's one of my biggest problems, is because I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to take care of the problem. I don't know where he's at. And don't feel like you're going to embarrass your husband, because you will. But that's not the point. The point is that you're honest, and that you're going to be able to show him and tell him there's just some things, and you're going to go home and you're going to start throwing things at one another. But all this is going to work out because it'll bring you to the place where you can talk and communicate. How many of you wives will be honest enough now to say, there's just some things that I just don't have total trust in him about? One, two, three. It's a couple. They're popping up here and there. Here and there, okay? The rest of you liars. No, I'm teasing, see. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's if we can just see these things, it's going to help us. You see that? Husbands need to let their wives know when they're going to do something. Am I right? I think that's the key. I think that's the way to say it. It's not that you don't think he will, but when's he going to? Am I right now? Am I doing all right, gals? Am I doing all right, guys? Okay. Now that's where this comes into. Listen, it is very difficult for her to submit to you with a quiet and a gentle spirit and to trust you like Sarah did Abraham if you're not taking care of things and moving into your position at home. If you're not taking care of things and talking to your wife, wives, let me tell you something. Husbands, let me tell you something, specifically husbands right now. Husbands, let me tell you, if you're not talking to your wife, she'll find somebody to talk to. And a lot of you need to be thankful right now that it's me. She wants to talk to you. She wants you to hold her. She wants you to tell her, darling, I love you, and I'm going to do this then, and then. Okay. What is the third thing, the third point on the men's side now? What does it say that men should do to their wives, for their wives? It says there, in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. How many of you ladies see that the Bible says that you're a weaker vessel? Just give me a couple amens. Amen. Now I want you to say, I am a weaker vessel. Some of you said it. Let's say it now like you really believe it. I am a weaker vessel. That's hard for you to admit. That's hard for you to say. Because you see the weaknesses of your husband. Listen, let me try to clarify this. It says that you're weaker. What it's really saying is that he's weak. You're just weaker. And it's really talking here in the context of physical strength anyhow. How many knows that there's areas of my life that I'm weak in? She knows it. She knows it better than any of you. But see, it's still my right. She's a little weaker than I am in some things, and I need to take care of her. And the Bible says that the woman is the weaker. And it's not a bad thing, ladies. That's not bad. But when you will act weaker, then that will let your husband protect you. When you will come to the conclusion that you really are, then it will encourage him to be the man, to be the strength of the home. When you're trying to be strong, he feels competition from you. Submit to him with a gentle and a quiet spirit. That will give him a place then to come and to hold you and be the man. Okay? It says there that she's the weaker vessel. Since she's a woman, and grant her what? Grant her what? Talk to me. Verse 7. Honor. Who's to grant who honor? Listen, sirs. It's not her that's supposed to honor you. You're supposed to honor her. Gentlemen, listen. She submits to you, but you honor her. Let me try to go ahead and get this. It says there, because she's a joint heir. Right? She's a joint heir. Now, let me try to do it this way. Let me do it this way. Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Which one of those is the most important? Think now. Which is the most important? Which one do we not need? Are they equal in their importance? Which one of you is the most important? The husband or the wife or the children? The kids are down here saying, the kids, children, the children. Which one? They're all important. They all have their purpose. They all have their place. None are more important than the others. I'm not more important than my kids. I'm not more important than my wife. And when I walk around with a mentality like that, folks, I'm deceived. I am not more important. But let's do something else now. In God's order, in His position, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in His order of authority, in His order of blessings upon the earth, how does it work? Who then is first in authority? Father. Because the Father sent the Son because He so loved the world, right? But who sent the Holy Spirit? The Son. So we have His order. This is the way the blessings come to you and to me. It's from the Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's just the way it comes. In your life, the head of a man is Christ. The head of Christ is God the Father. The head of the woman is the man. And that's the way your home will be blessed. That's his functioning authority. Not that one's more important than the other. Husband, you're not more important than your wife. Don't treat your wife like a little child. Wife, you're not more important than the husband. He's got to have you. You got to have him. Kids are needed necessary also. You can't have a home without those three parts. Am I right? Now that's what we're talking about. Now we're talking about honor here. When you're honoring her as a joint heir of the promise of grace of life. There's an equality there that when we move into this equality and understanding, then God can bless us. That God will bless us and God wants to bless us. You're to honor her. You adore her. Do you know you need your wife? Not just to clean house, not just to wash dishes, not just to cook for you. But sir, do you realize the degree of sin you would fall into without your wife? It says, heirs to the grace of life, not death. You get along, you let your wife leave a couple of weeks. You be away from her for a while. Thoughts start traveling through there you don't really need. You need that woman to keep you out of sin. Woman, you need him. Hello. We're joint heirs to the grace of life. Joint heirs. We honor her. She submits to us. They're not different. They're the same. They have their functions. They have their place. They're honoring. Now, we do these things. The woman has something to do. Whether your husband is good or whether he's unreasonable, you're supposed to submit to him with a gentle and a quiet spirit. And then you're supposed to trust him without fear. The husband has something to do. He's to live with his own wife in an understanding way. And he's to honor her. He's to give her the proper respect, the proper honor that she is due and what she's about and what her purposes are. That's what we're to do. Now, why is it to do this? Why? What's the conclusion of the matter? So your prayers be not hindered. And I'm going to put this under the man's position because it says honor her as a joint heir so that your prayers be not hindered. But how many of you women really will realize and be honest that if you're not submitting to your husband and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then your prayers are going to be hindered as well. And how many of you, if you don't trust in your husband, you're manipulating him, and you're trying to get your way through manipulation, you're trying to get your way through anger, you're trying to get your way by doing the things that you know will bother him and upset him, and that your prayers are going to be hindered as well. Now, putting it over here because it's the man's place and it's the man's responsibility to make sure the house is in order. That's his place. But at the same time, I want you to see that it's a corporate thing. Let me tell you something, wives. Your husband cannot honor you if you're really not submitting to him with a quiet spirit. Husbands, your wives can't trust you if you're not honoring her and living with her in an understanding way. Am I telling you the truth now? It works together, folks. It works together. We are joint heirs together. Joint heirs together. Let's read on and we'll finish it up. Verse 9. Verse 8. Says, to sum it up, let just the wife. No. Let just the husband, let just the children, let just the slaves, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly. I know I'm wrong. It works out crazy. I was wrong. I know I'm wrong, but do I try to keep acting like I'm right? I used to, but I've learned that's not humbling and that's not giving her honor. Giving her honor is when I come to you and say, honey, you were really right. I was wrong. I apologize. Forgive me. That's giving her honor. That's giving her what she needs to hear. You can't. She knows you're wrong anyhow. Am I right? She knows you're wrong. You don't really have to tell her, but you sure will heal a lot of things and make a lot of things better if you'll just say, I was wrong. Okay. Humble yourself, a humble spirit. Verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. How have you ever gotten to that? You get in these shouting matches. And I'm going to insult you bigger than you insulted me. You little fat thing, you. You dummy. Come on. And you start insulting one another. You don't trade insults for insults. He says don't do that. Not insults for insults. But giving a blessing instead. Giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. How many really want your husband to bless you? How many of you wives really want your husband just to bless you, put his hand on you, hold you, and just bless you? You need that. How many of you husbands really want your husband, how many of you husbands really want your wives just to hold you and bless you, care for you? Yeah, see? I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. Women, let me tell you something while I'm here. We need your touch. We need your touch. We need you to sometimes just to rub us, rub our necks, hair, stroke us a little bit. We need that. We may look big and rough and mean and ugly, nasty, but we really need you to just touch us sometimes. Show us you love us. Just as badly as you need it, from time to time we need it. Not retreating insult for insult, but blessing one another. Now let's go on. I gotta end this thing. Four, let him who means to love life and see good days. How many of you really want to love life? You really want to love life. You want every day to be good. You really want to love life. And you want to love life and you want good days. Okay? This is what you do. Number one, you refrain your tongue from evil. Stop arguing with one another. Stop hollering at each other. Stop fussing with each other. You restrain your own tongue. You can't restrain his. He can't restrain you. How many of you women know that you can't make your husband do this? You've tried. How many of you women, how many of you men know that you can't make your wife submit to you? You've tried. Can't do it. But if you'll do your part, you'll find out that it'll be a whole lot easier for her to do hers. I can't. Second thing, and let him turn away from evil and do good. How many see that if you see some areas that I've touched today, some things in your marriage, in your life, that you're not quite in God's order here, that you need to turn from those things and do good. How many see some things that maybe you could do a little better in? Men and women, come on. Most of us are doing good. No, okay. See, there's things that we can do good. And if you won't turn from the evil things that you're doing, the wrong things, the unrighteous things, the things that aren't right before God, if you won't turn, then you won't have good days and you won't have a blessing. You got to learn to change. Then he says, the third thing is let him seek peace and pursue it. Seek these things and pursue it. You're getting these things right now. You're saying, boy, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do it. But how many see that you got to continue to seek it and continue to pursue it and continue to do it? It's just this one teaching isn't going to fix your marriage. You got to understand that you got to keep on seeking and keep on knocking and keep on asking. And then in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord, and this is where I want to wind it up at, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. I'm still talking about the same thing. If you don't want your prayers hindered, you must have your home like this. This is right before God. This is right before God. If you will move into this and try this, then He'll be attending to your prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, or those who will not change, or those who will not do it His way. Your prayers are hindered. How many has gotten something today? Okay? How many believe this is very timely, that we needed this today? Okay, we did. All right, I've asked the Lord how to do this. Now, we're going to make a declaration. Then I want husbands to get with wives and wives to get with husbands. And those of you that don't have husbands and wives, I'm not talking about you kids, I'm talking about you that are whatever, divorced or whatever, you're married, your husbands and wives not here, whatever. I want you to kind of come right here in this section here. I want you to pray for one another. I want you to bless one another. But I want husbands and wives to bless each other before you leave. Okay? Now, we're going to stand right now. We'll make a declaration. Let's stand up. I want you to repeat with me.